You are still listening to Money Talk on Mix 93.8 FM. In this week's Money Lessons segment, we speak to NSFAS Chair, former First Rand Chief Executive and Chartered Accountant Sizwe Ncwasana. Welcome to Money Talk, sir.
Hi.
What has been your biggest money lesson over the years?
Well, the biggest is that regardless of how much money you have, the needs, and sometimes, you know, we confuse needs and wants, are always more than the amount of money that we have. So it doesn't matter whether you are a weekly wage earner or monthly, you know, wage earner, or maybe you are a business person who gets money occasionally, and sometimes, you know, you have people who get lump sums of money all at once. There are always more needs.
How did you get to that money lesson and having to unpack it and apply it into your own life?
Well, you know, obviously I've been working for many, many years.
Yeah.
You know, and I started off, you know, working as a laborer in my much younger days, where, you know, I remember even my weekly wage was 14.96 a week.
Wow.
And obviously this is many, many years ago now.
Mm.
But, you know, I learned my lessons even then because, you know, you'd think you have a lot of money at the end of the week. And before you realize it, when you go back to work on Monday, all that money is finished.
Mm.
And this goes back to, you know, the point I was making that, you know, there always a lot more needs for money than there is money available.
How has that then shaped your view of money and its handling as you grow older and enjoy the fruits of your labor? Do you still use the same principles?
Well, the principles that I've learned is that, you know, you have to continue to save money and invest money. So that, you know, you can try and maintain a certain standard of living. And as I was saying, sometimes you think, you know, there's a lot of money and the needs are always there and the demands for money are always there. And one needs to always exercise discipline. So what I've learned over the years is to discipline myself in terms, you know, how I use money, how I invest money, and to try and stick to that target.
Mm.
In other words, you know, the budget that you may have set for how much you should use for consumption and how much you should use for investment and how much you should have at the end of the day as some discretionary money, because invariably there are always things that happen that you never estimated or budgeted for. You know, like for instance, you know, a car breaks down or something happens, something breaks down at your house,
mm-hmm.
and you did not really anticipate that you're going to have that unexpected expenditure.
All right.
So you should still keep some money for some of those unexpected eventualities.
Having worked in the financial sector, in your view, is there enough education around the handling of money in South Africa?
Well, South Africa is known as one of those countries that have people who live beyond their means. So if you look at, you know, just generally our culture of savings, it is very low. And we almost behave as some of the countries that have very high levels of debt, of household debt, that is. So I think as part of our education, we have to, you know, continue to educate our people about the importance of saving money, of investing money. You know, some of the things that we have that are may ascribe to the reasons why we do not save as much is because, you know, the country provides a safety net. In other words, you know, for people who are unemployed or people who are not working and so on, you know, the government always provides some safety net in terms of social grants and so on, which is one of the reasons why we sort of explain why people don't save.
Mm.
Whereas in countries where there is no safety net, in other words, you see yourself to finish. If you haven't saved money, you're going to starve. You know, you find that typically those countries have a much higher culture of savings than where we are in South Africa.
That said, in your role as NSFAS Chair, what are your views on the issues around the funding of tertiary education currently in South Africa? There are various debates of no-fee tertiary education. There are also debates about parents needing to prepare for this eventuality, or students themselves taking it upon themselves that this is how I'm going to help and buffer the parentals in ensuring that I get further education.
I do think for poor students, in other words, the students that come from poor backgrounds and so on, we should be able to support those students a lot more in the form of grants, in the form of bursaries. But for parents who can afford, and here I'm talking about, you know, especially parents who earn above a certain threshold, mm-hmm. let's say, for instance, from somewhere around 120 or 150,000 rand, there should be some cost-sharing arrangement. So the state, you know, should provide some financial support, but there should be some contribution also that comes from not just the parents, maybe, you know, sort of deferred payments for those people who may have benefited from that level. So there should be some sliding scale that applies to, you know, those students that come from backgrounds that can partially afford, and then on a sliding scale until you get to a level of parents, you know, who can completely afford, who should be able to pay for their children.
What was your story going into tertiary?
Well, the first thing is, you know, I mentioned that I was a labourer before I even went to university, and that was because I did not have money to go to university. So I had to go and work and save up some money and apply for loans and some bursaries. So I had a partial bursary, but at the end of the day, I got a loan from one of the banks. And that's how I managed to then get to university. You know, so this was then, though. You know, that's why I was saying, just looking at where the country is and where we are, I do think the country can afford to provide fully subsidized education, especially for students who come from poor backgrounds.
How then would you advise a young person entering the job market on the handling of money?
Yes, you know, I think financial education should actually start at school, because very often you find that by the time that students or people get to university or higher education, like TVET colleges and so on, at that stage, they have to make a lot of decisions, sometimes that are really important and very big decisions about their lives and about, you know, their education, about how they handle money and so on. And if they're not prepared before, in other words, when they were still at school, it can really become a problem, because, you know, you find a lot of cases where students at universities or colleges think they have money, they have to handle money, you know, for their education, as an example, but they were not really trained how to handle money. And very often you find a lot of cases where, you know, students may waste money believing that they had enough money and only to realize midway through the year that, in fact, the money that they thought they had was not enough to cover, you know, their needs in terms of education, for books, for tuition, accommodation, and even food for that matter.
Having answered that, do you remember what you did with your first ever paycheck?
Well, it wasn't a lot, as I said. You know, my first paycheck, it was actually not a check. It was an envelope with money. It was 14 rand 96. And that was enough to pay for my transport and a little bit of food. So that's what you worked for. You worked for our transportation and food. Mm. And because fortunately, I stayed at home then. And saved up a little bit of money. And, you know, whatever you saved up was spent buying basic needs like clothing.
Right.
You know, so there wasn't really much left to save or anything like that.
Do you remember then being taught about the handling of money at a young age?
Well, for starters, you know, in my own family, in my own household, there wasn't enough of it to go around. Mm. So you just knew that, you know, my parents may do with whatever little they had. But, you know, I have six siblings, so there were seven of us.
Mm.
You know, who had to survive. You know, and with, you know, money that was really not enough. So you knew the importance of making your money stretch a long way, because that's what my parents did.
Yeah, yeah. Lastly, what is your ultimate money goal?
Well, I'm not really retiring. At my age, you know, I've started new companies.
Yes.
So I've put some of the money that I've got at risk, essentially, of starting new businesses.
Mm.
Because I think it is important for the country to also have entrepreneurs and people who are employment creators. Yes, there are risks associated with starting new companies and being an entrepreneur, but that's also how you grow economies. Because, you know, not all of us, you know, must sit and wait for someone to give them a job. You also need people who are job creators.
Right.
But there are risks associated with that. And I'm one of those people who are prepared to put our resources at risk. to start new businesses and grow new organizations and new enterprises.
Thank you so much for your time. It's an absolute pleasure having heard your story, sir.
Thank you.
That was NSFAS Chair, former First Rand Chief Executive and Chartered Accountant Sizwe Nxasana in this week's Money Lessons segment on Money Talk on Mix 93.8 FM.